Like to thank everyone for coming out this morning. It is an encouragement for you to be here, even though some of y'all knew I was speaking. I was speaking this morning, get my English right in a minute. You knew I was speaking and you came anyway, and I appreciate that. And as I always try to do and try to remember to do, I'm going to encourage you to follow along with me, to look at the passage of Scripture we look at, look at the points we bring up, and make sure that they're valid and make sure that they're scriptural. Make sure that they're accurate. So if it's not for some reason, if some reason I get off the mark, point it out. Be my friend. Point that out to me, and then let me correct that publicly, because I do not want to steer anybody in the wrong direction. I do not want to misrepresent God's word in any way. So I'm encouraging you to follow along, pay attention. I will probably not be too long this morning, because I used this sermon last Sunday over at Trenton. And then as I learned, usually the second time I kind of breeze through them a little quickly. And then now Jason's going to say, well, Dad, you were up there for 45 or 50 minutes. Well, we'll see about that, okay? But in starting off this morning and getting you to thinking about what we're going to talk about this morning, is we look around the world and we pay attention to what's going on around us. There's a lot of evil that's around us. There's a lot. If you look on the news, if you're just aware of the world, if you're paying attention to things that are going on, if you're paying attention to the things that your children are being influenced with and bombarded with, there's a lot of evil in this world. And we could possibly say that we're living in the worst time in history. And some of y'all may know where I'm going with this already, but we could say that this is the worst that it's been. This is, you know, this is hard to live in, and it's hard to be a good Christian and live in this time. It's hard to be a follower of God and live in this time. Well, we're going to look at a story this morning. If you want to go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 6, we're going to read some of that in just a moment. And, you know, as we were going through our daily Bible readings, this is one of those passages of Scripture that I just kept going back to and reading over. It's really encouraging. And it's so simple. Well, we're going to look at a few things this morning. But I'm going to read for you first Genesis chapter 6. I think the first 12 verses. So it says, when man began to multiply on the face of the land and the daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And also afterwards, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of man, they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intention and thoughts of his hearts were only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. In verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh, had corrupted their way on the earth. So, if I'm getting this, thank you. There we go. Verse 5. It says, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Every thought. Right? We think, looking around us today, every thought is only continual, is continually evil. But we look around us here this morning, sitting next to us, we have Christians that are attempting to do what's right and what is good. And when you think about Noah in his time, the people, it says every intent, right, was only evil. He's bombarded with evil all around him. He's trying to do what's right. We know he's trying to do what's right because of verse 8 there. If I'm correct, I'm going to make sure I am. And this, verse 8 says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. In all this evil, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He was doing something right. Right? He was doing something that was right. And we know here, reading on in verse 6 and 7 again, it says, "And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot man out, who I've created on the face of the land, and the man, and the animals, and the creeping things, and the birds of heaven, for I'm sorry that I have made them." He was sorry. Okay? But, there it is again. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor. Okay? So this morning, kind of for you fathers specifically, you young people need to pay attention, because some of you young men someday are probably going to be fathers. And there's a lot of family things here we can learn from Noah as being a father. Okay? Oh, I forgot about this one. This is a good one too, because it helps us out here. 1 Peter 3 and verse 20, "Which sometimes were disobedient when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water." We know as a result of some of Noah's work that there was eight souls that were saved. We know there was Noah, his wife, and his three sons, and his daughter-in-laws. And we're going to talk about them this morning as well. Eight souls were saved by water. So let's keep that in mind as we go through this morning. We talk about Noah. There's evil, only evil continuously. And we know that Noah was doing something right. He was recognized by God and he was saved. So Noah as a father. Noah had his own life in order. Noah had his life in order. How do we know this? When we read through the record, we know, well, God recognizes him. Here the earth is evil. God is fixing to destroy the earth. And it says here, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. Noah did what was right. Righteous. What is right? How can you influence people? We know there were eight souls that were saved. There were eight souls. How do we know he did what was right? Well, there's eight souls. He was doing something that was correct. And we fathers know, if you pay attention to your young people at all, your children, you'll understand pretty quick that if you're doing something that's not correct, they're going to pick up on that pretty quick. And sometimes that's pointed back out to you when you go to correct them and you go, "Where did you learn that?" And they give you that look like, "Well, I learned it from you." Right? It's hard to be a teacher of righteousness if we're not doing right ourselves. We know that Noah was doing right. His sons were able to go on the ark with him and be saved. He was a man of righteousness. We also know that God paid attention, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. As fathers, we need to make sure that in all this evil that we have going on around us, that we're doing what's right. So that our children are learning to do what's right. That's an important lesson here to learn from Noah. Doing what is right, a righteous man. He did not let contemporary trends influence his life. When you think about it, that'd be really easy for us around us today to say, you know, everybody's doing it, right? And you young people, y'all may have said this. Well, I know I said this growing up to my parents. I know I did. Well, so-and-so's doing it. Why can't I do it? Right? So-and-so, they're over there doing it. Contemporary trends. We know he was blameless in his time. He was blameless in his time. He did not let the contemporary issues influence him. And he also taught that to his children. It's easy to say, well, everybody's doing it. Everybody over here is doing it. Noah literally could have said in his time, everybody is evil. Everybody. And we sit in a congregation here this morning, sitting with groups of Christians that are trying to do what's right. I worshiped over in Trenton last week with a group of Christians, when there's, what, 20, 30 minutes away from us. They're trying to do what's right. We can't say that we are around only evil. We have some helpers. That makes our job a little easier. We have people that we can lean upon. But we can look at Noah, and we can know, even though the world is evil and the world that we're living in is evil, that we can do what's right. That we cannot be caught up in the ways of the world. Now, we have to do some things here. We have to study. We have to worship correctly. We have to continuously to be in the Word, to pay attention to what the Word is telling us. We have to study the Word. We're going to find out some more things about Noah here that's going to help us out with that as well. But you think about it. He was blameless in his time, and then he walked with God. Now, I kind of use this as an example, too, because if y'all know Christy and myself very well, you know that we're like, we've been together for 22 years now, but we're also different. We're very different. And if I say, Christy, let's go for a walk, okay? You know, when you say walk together, you think two people walk together, right? Well, for 22 years now, Christy has never really walked with me unless I grab her hand and slow her down. Because I'm kind of like Granddaddy was, I'm kind of slow. I'm a slow walker. If you ever pay attention to Christy, she is not a slow walker, right? She's going to take, honey, will you wait up for me? Or sometimes I just say, I'm not walking that fast. We got to stay together. I'm not going to walk that fast. And she'll slow down and stay with me. Okay, the intent is when you see people walking together, they're in harmony with one another. Noah walked with God. It shows a continual thing going on, right? I love my wife to death, and I promise you I'm not picking on her. It's just the way we are. We're different. Maybe I'm the one that needs to speed up. It may do me a lot of good just to speed up a little bit, because she and Jace both are, he's like her, he just walks fast. All right, back to the point. Noah walked with God. It was a continual act. Even with the evil that's all around him, even with everything that he's bombarded with, he walked with God. When you think about it, every day, he has Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, and that's who he has with him. Everybody else around him is evil. And we know that he walked the path. He stayed on track in doing what he was supposed to do. In addition to his example, he also actively taught God's will. We can see that over in 2 Peter 2, verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, a preacher of what was right. Okay? Noah was given if we read on past that verse 12 there and into that, we know he was given a huge task to build the ark. And I can't imagine being given that task. I just, of course, you know, I'm not Noah. But I've also seen my dad build a lot of things with woodworking tools. We built a whole, when I was a kid, and Kevin remembered this, I'm sure, we built a whole bedroom suit out of oak. And I remember the weight of that when we moved it into the house. Dad was not thinking about how heavy that would be. It was a beautiful piece. But we had, you know, we had table saws, and we had all these pieces of, circular saws and planers and all kind of stuff there to make that work and make this beautiful wood. You think about what Noah had to work with to build the ark. You think about that. And as he's going through this work, it's noted that he's a preacher of righteousness. He's a preacher continuously. He's trying to help people out. It's noted. A preacher of righteousness. Right? And we know that because of his preaching, we know that at least eight souls were saved. Okay. People can see our example every day. They can see us walk around living as Christians. But we have an obligation to also to teach, to help, to spread the word. And we can learn that from Noah. Fathers, we need to be preaching and teaching our children what is right. We need to be setting an example, and we need to be talking to them. And then they need to see us talking to other people. You know, How else does a young person learn to talk to somebody else better than to watch their parent take time to speak to somebody else about God's word? We know they pick up on our bad habits quick. Well, they'll pick up on our good habits just as quick. But we have to set the example. Noah was setting the example. And we know that he did it in a world that was wicked, that was hard, hard to live in. He did not get so busy with his job, right, that he failed to teach his own sons. We've already alluded to this a little bit, okay? But let's think about these three sons. And we're going back to Genesis chapter 6. It says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be numbered 120 years." And y'all just think with me for a minute, okay? In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, 17th month, day of the month, on the same day, the fountains of the deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain upon the earth fell 40 days and 40 nights. In the 600th year, if we subtract 120 years from 600, that puts Noah right at about 480 years old. Possibly when God said the flood's going to come. Okay? What about his three sons? Noah was 500 years old when he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So here is Noah building this big boat, ark, if you will. And here are his sons growing up the whole time seeing their father build this big ark. And we know that they were saved. Because it mentioned it earlier, there were eight souls that were saved. We know that from his work, his talking to them continuously, he had to have been. Because you think about what they would have been influenced by with the world around them. All the evil that was continuously bombarding them, he had to have been teaching them constantly during this whole time that he's building the ark. That's a big task. And we know it took time. We know that it took time to build it. It's one man with his three sons. If you go back and you read through the dimensions of that, that's huge. The whole time, though, we know that time he is teaching his sons. And we as parents, I've been guilty of this. I'm okay to admit my faults. I'm good with it. Been so caught up in a job that we put aside taking care of our own children. We get so caught up in trying to be successful. And I can tell you where my successful was, where I was trying to be successful. I was trying to make a name for myself as a band director because I want to be known as a good band director. I wanted people to say Keith Baumgartner was a good band director. No, I was in a bad place. And I'm glad that I've changed since then. I'd love to go back to band director. I'm not going to deny that any day. But my focus will be different. I'm not going to be about making a name for myself and taking myself away from my family. My job is going to be to teach kids. But the number one, right, important thing is to make sure I'm taking time to teach my son. He can see me work, but he can also see me take time to teach him and to teach others. Right? Noah's setting a good example. A good example. He worked. He was given the task. We know that he completed the task because we know that they were told to get on and they were saved. Okay? What about the conversions of his daughter-in-law? We know. And Noah went in and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him. Not only did he save his sons' wives. And where would they have come from? You think they would have come from the families that were around them, who would have been come from families that were thinking of evil continuously. We know that we've already mentioned that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, so he was working. We know that he taught his sons. There had to have been an influence on his daughter-in-laws. We know that they were allowed to go on the ark. They were allowed to be saved. If you will, there was some kind of conversion that went on with his daughter-in-laws to allow them to be able to go on the ark. There was an influence of Noah's work as he was going along this task that God had given him to teach his daughter-in-laws as well. He was a preacher of righteousness. I'm sure he was trying to teach everybody. But we know that they were influenced to a point where they were allowed to go on with his wife, his sons, and it says their wives with them, his sons' wives with him. Okay? We don't understand sometimes the impact we have on other people in our teaching, our preaching. We can learn from Noah that it doesn't matter how bad the world seems around us, because sometimes we think, oh, I can't do this because it's so bad over here. I can't do this because it's so bad over there. I can't have an influence on this person over here because the world is like this. Let's take all that away, because look at this. What did Noah do? He kept teaching what was right. And because of that, 8 souls were saved. 8 souls. And God testified to his success. We know it was written over in Hebrews, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is by faith. Hebrews, big chapter of faith, right? He's mentioned there. He is mentioned there, being warned by God, moved with fear, prepared the ark, saving his house. So we have this over here in Genesis, and now we're in Hebrews, and we have a recording of it again, of the big men, we call them the men of faith, Noah being warned by God. In just a moment, we're going to sing, "What Will Your Answer Be?" I hope that what I have talked about this morning has been beneficial. I hope that it has made you think, because I know it's made me think. I know it's made me study. It's made me work. Okay? I hope that it's been beneficial. I hope mostly that it's been accurate and true. And I do want to say I appreciate your attention and your paying attention and your allowing me to stand before you and speak. But if there's something that's kept you from being righteous in what we would consider an evil world, there are Christians here that will pray for you. If you're not a Christian, if you have not been baptized into Christ, there's times that we can take care of that right now. We're going to stand and sing a song in just a moment. We're going to stand and we're going to sing and edify one another. What will your answer be? What will it be? You know, the people that were around Noah when the floods came, they were kind of in a bad place. We don't want you to be in that bad place. We want you to be part of the saved. Noah did what was right. You can start a life new today doing what is right, and teaching other people and helping one another do what is right. Fathers, we have a huge task before us. It is not something to take lightly. It is not something that we should take and just kind of, I'm seeing more and more that I need to set a better example. I'm trying to set a good example. I need to work to setting a better example for Jace. Because if my time comes, if people can say, that man was a Christian, and his son followed in his footsteps, and he is a Christian, I can say I've accomplished something. We know that Noah did what was right, and his 3 sons did what was right, and we have a record of it in Genesis. Fathers, do what's right. If there's something that you need to make known or something you need to take care of, you can do it as we stand and sing.